sense of lack of purpose, hopelessness, and even the idea of trying to correct that state, trying to address it, almost feels useless because there's like a, we're disempowered, right? We almost don't have the means to address it. And then on top of that, because no one's really thinking about it in this way where we have to attack enemy as a way of attacking dysfunction, we don't even really have like strategies, goals, or objectives on how to do that. So for the average person thinking about, well, how do I correct an entire community's dysfunction? It feels completely useless to try to do that. So it's like living in this constant state of hopelessness, right? Mm-hmm. So just, there was this other guy, Robert Merton, if I remember right. And he added on to Durkheim's work. And he said something like, anime is most potent, or I could say at its worst, if people who are trying to achieve some kind of personal goals in life, but don't have acceptable means to achieve that. And what he was getting at is, if you don't have the ability, the resources, the supports, and everything you need to achieve, you know, personal decent goals in life, he said that likely you'll go towards illegitimate means. So you're likely to break social norms. You're likely to break laws. You're likely to cross social boundaries to achieve your personal goals. So let's just kind of put that into context. Imagine your goal is to have a long, healthy, happy, modestly prosperous life, right? That's pretty generalized. Mm-hmm. Well, as indigenous people, we know in our colonial experience, our lands and resources have been taken from us. Our culture, our way of believing, our way of knowing, all been taken away. Our social institutions, even our community networks, family networks, our governance, all this has been taken away. We don't have the means to achieve our personal goals in a socially acceptable way. So to achieve our goals, that doesn't mean we just give up on our goals, unless, of course, you know, ultimately somebody chooses to go down the route of something like suicide. Mm-hmm. But most of us will try to achieve those goals, even if it means we're going to violate social norms, violate laws, or violate any kind of social boundaries. That happens for a lot of us, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's important to know, and I got to really point this out, the state of anime does not affect any one ethnicity more than another. But that's kind of like social Darwinism, right? Where they want to say, basically, your ethnic group is weaker, therefore you're more subject to this kind of condition of being hopeless. But that's not true, because they've done studies on it, and they particularly looked at, I think, with the American ghettos. So they're looking at, like, African-Americans, Hispanic, and I believe even some Irish, I think, were in the study. And they found it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. If you've been subjected to this condition, basically like cultural genocide, then you will likely end up in this state of anime. So we got to make sure that people don't try to use that as an excuse that, well, as indigenous people, you're just more likely to engage in despair and just end up being depressed anyway. No, it's the conditions, not the ethnicity, that creates it, right? So, like, how do we get here? How do indigenous people get to this state of anime? And really, I mean, it's not hard to see because it's based on cultural genocide, right? Residential school was a powerful weapon in achieving that, right? Because we know it attacked the entirety of indigenous culture. Mm-hmm. It tried to eradicate our worldview, our philosophies, our belief systems, our ways of thinking, our morals, our values, our norms. And it almost succeeded, right? Mm-hmm. It was really close and almost wiping it all out. Mm-hmm. Now, indigenous culture is based on, I mean, our oral traditions are within our culture, right? That's how we passed on our morals, our values, and our norms, was through our stories. So as we grew up, we were given this body of knowledge through our stories on correct behaviors. And that meant behaviors on, like, how do you treat elders? How do you treat your family, your cousins? How do you treat your parents, your uncles? How do you treat the land? Mm-hmm. How do you treat non-human beings, right? Those are all built into our stories, mm-hmm. and we were consistently reminded of that kind of proper behavior. So our ability to teach the next generation proper and positive ways to relate to each other and our families, our neighbors, strangers, or even non-human beings was almost completely wiped out when you think of a residential school. Mm-hmm. Right? So our oral traditions is how we did knowledge transfer. That's important, right? It wasn't just stories for entertainment. This is how we passed on our morals and our teachings, our knowledge. A residential school, as we know, deliberately targeted our ways of knowing, our ways of believing, and our ways of being. And now, if there ever was a weapon you can look at that creates a state of enemy, it's residential school. But it really was there to just destroy any sense of indigenousness, right? Mm-hmm. So as indigenous people, we live in a normless environment. And that's what assimilation has done. It's basically eradicated most indigenous norms. We have bits and pieces and fragments here and there, but honestly, like, we don't have an intact set of norms and values. It's really kind of fragmented, right? Now, this becomes even a tougher situation because we have to look at adding, besides the normless environment, add the idea of complex, compound, ongoing colonial traumas. Now, that means indigenous society doesn't have a positive place to fit into, like colonial society, right? There's nothing positive for the indigenous person. And we have to exist in this normless community where we have so many of these compounded colonial traumas still ongoing. Mm-hmm. Now, think about how a lot of us deal with trauma, especially when there hasn't been any real effective ways of, I'm going to say the word counseling in psychology, but you know, I'm careful with the idea of Western science and stuff as being our solution. So, but I'll use that terminology for now, right? But without having all that, you got to factor in negative coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So a lifetime of colonial traumas, we turn to these negative coping mechanisms like alcohol, drug abuse, mm-hmm. gambling, addictions, mm-hmm. substance abuse, theft, lateral violence, spouse abuse, sex abuse, physical violence, and even things like lying, cheating, manipulating. And then unfortunately, in the end, even suicide becomes a coping mechanism mm-hmm. when we finally feel we can't do anything else to deal with all this dysfunction, right? That is the outcome of anime. That's mm-hmm. what anime looks like when you really think about it. And it's at the core of our social dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. Well,
now here's...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
What's that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm almost wrapping up here. So here's one of the real problems we have. When we look at social dysfunction in our communities, we tend to look at it as an individual problem. Like John over there is a severe alcoholic, or Paula is a manipulator, or Bob's a druggie, or Marie is filled with trauma and suicidal thoughts. We look at just the individual and we blame them. Rarely do we recognize that this state of anime is a collective experience mm-hmm. where we all have to deal with it in one way or another. Like, it's in our families, it's in our communities, it's in our nations, it's in our leadership, right? So we're not taught or encouraged to look at this as a collective problem, even though all of us are going through it. And if we did look at it as a collective problem, that would shift the solution from an individual problem, where the solutions tend to be something like go to AA or go to counseling or some kind of support group that helps the individual, right? We need to shift from that to focus on looking at the external manufacturer of the conditions that create the state of anime and still maintains them. Because when we do that, we're now saying that it's more of a political problem, not an individual problem, because it's colonial society who has purposely constructed these conditions that still go on today.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate this huge in-depth introduction, and we will leave the listeners out there with the knowledge that to overcome these types of difficulties, we need to focus on our culture, our traditions, and our heritage, and grasp onto positivity and healing. And we really appreciate you for spending your time with us and bringing us an introduction of anime. And we're looking forward to hearing from you again and continuing this basically workshop series on anime and how we can defeat it and come to a positive end and solution to it. So we really appreciate you spending your time with us.
Thanks for coming in today, bro.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it too, and looking forward to keep going over this because it's, yes, it's so complex, but really can provide a lot of insight for us.
And let's remember to keep our deep breaths going so that we don't get overwhelmed with these heavy topics.
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely.
And a big shout out to Gemden too for all her efforts in surviving that her issue with what was the name of it again?
It's Myasthenia Gravis.
Myasthenia Gravis. Yeah, so yes. Big shout out to her, and looking forward to hearing you again very soon. And bye for now.
Bye for now.
All right. See you.
All right. Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my brother from another mother, Saugage, from the Mi'kmaq people out in the East Coast. So we're going to continue on with our show, and we'll be right back.
Time to start my day. Whoa, hold up. Oh my God, is that a new mole? I'm sure it's not a big deal, right? Everyone gets moles. I'm sure it's just a freckle. I don't think I need it checked. It can't be that serious. I don't think it's new. I'm sure if I go back into my old photos, I can find the same mole, right? Oh, it seems a little different than what I remember. I'm sure it's nothing bad.
Are you sure about that? Very few individuals are aware of steps they could take to address the common risk factors for a wide spectrum of cancers. With simple tools, about 50% of cancers could be prevented. Yet cancer prevention remains under-researched, under-applied, and underfunded. With your support, BC cancer scientists can better understand the root causes of cancer and how we can prevent it in the first place. Be the change. Donate today at www.bccancerfoundation.com.
All right, we're back, and we're going to play the pick of the week of Shkwait Shachlach, and it's from Sikik, and it's the name of the song is I Can Feel It, and this is Michael Jackson and Phil Collins remix. So enjoy, everyone. We'll be right back.
Oh.
Sikik, and I Can Feel It, and that was Michael Jackson and Phil Collins remix. And we have on the line with us Gwaith Shachlach, and he's my brother from Gwaith Kana. He's an extreme survivalist of Guillain-Barré syndrome, lymphoma, cancer, the big forest fires of a few years ago and the big flood of a few years ago. So very successful in surviving all that. And yeah, welcome to the show, Gwaith.
Yeah. Good to be back.
Yeah, pretty awesome song.
Week.
Yeah, I really loved your song. I Can Feel It, man. That was pretty powerful. Nice beat to it, everything.
So, yeah, it was the shortest version of In the Air I could find. Phil Collins In the Air tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Had to find a remix.
Yeah. Well, we have a subject and it's on success, and we'd love to hear your words on that.
Success. You know, nowadays we take the meaning of success and only take the positive out of it, eh? Oh, I successfully passed my English 101 test. And, you know, when back in the old days, success was just the completion of a task, you know, an undertaking. Whether it was good or bad, it was a success. You completed it.
Mm.
You know, so I kind of like, you know, that we just made it into the positive. You know, we don't want to be always successfully failing. Not hitting the mark. So it's better to have a positive success than a negative success. Oh, yeah. I finished my exam, but I got only 1%. You know, you did the exam, so you successfully finished it, but the outcome was negative. So we got to remember that, you know, success goes either way, but it's, you know, more, makes us more happy, feel good when it's positive.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta keep to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I always quote Oddball, always with the negative waves, Moriarty.
Yeah.
Gotta push them negative waves away and keep positive.
So
that's what I think of when I think of success. You know, it's the completion of a task, completion of an undertaking. I just prefer that it's positive.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, we sometimes get caught up in linking only a positive result to success or, you know, reaching our goals. And we got to remember to shift our brain into transforming any of our accomplishments or goal setting into positivity, whether it is accomplished positively or not. Mm-hmm. We have to look at it. I like the words of Wegedesk earlier saying that, you know, the failures can be a positive thing too, or, you know, as an successful event, even though if it's not the way that we want it.
Yeah, yeah. We prefer the positive.
Yes, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
We got to remember that negatives do happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we really thank you and appreciate you for joining us live and just sharing your knowledge and mindset of what makes you tick and what made you successful in overcoming all the traumas and tribulations that you went through. And just always marvelous to have you come to our program and share your music and your insights.
Good to be needed. I don't know if you guys need me, but I feel needed.
Yeah, well,
preparing for it.
Yeah, well, we're getting to the age now where we're becoming the elders and the ones with the knowledge and the ones with positive vibes that can affect the world in a positive way. And we just need to embrace it and accept it and share it with the world.
Yeah. So I thank you guys there at the station, the listeners here and abroad, for sending me all your well-wishes, thoughts, prayers, and love. And I send them all back to you guys a thousandfold.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you so much. And we're going to have to say bye for now.
Okay, bye for now.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my brother, Shkwait Shakhlakh from Gwaishkina, BC, and always just an awesome time, privilege and honor to have him join us every once in a while on the radio waves. So we'll be right back, and we'll be catching up with Lady Fahima. So stay tuned, everyone.
Have you ever felt so sad that you don't know what's making you sad? Have you ever felt so alone because no one understands? They ask you, how are you? And you say, I'm tired, because it'll be too much to explain that you're sad. No one understands, even writing it down. Nothing seems to help. The dark days are just dark. We understand. Talk to me or any one of us at the Crisis Intervention and Suicide Prevention Center. Just dial 1-833-456-4566 or visit crisisservicescanada.ca.
All right, we're back, and we're still trying to contact our Lady Fahima, but I wanted to play that because I know it's important. We had a very serious topic today, and
Anome. Our caller in today talked about Anome, and it's a very heavy topic that, you know, is kind of the state that eventually can lead to suicide. And I want to remind everybody out there.
Hello.
Okay, here we go. We got Lady Fahima on the line here.
Hello, Lady Fahima. We're on live right now. We're so glad that you could make it on our program. And it's just always amazing that you can make some time and join us on the airwaves. And we would just like to get your words on our subject today, and it's on success.
Wonderful. What powerful word. And my greetings to you and the rest of the wonderful listeners across the country, outside of the country. Wonderful, unique team that they accommodating the voices to be reached out, the free voices, with the free choices that we have and we choose. About the success is the sweet goals and dreams. And we have to be independent. Be yourself. Build up your confidence. Free yourself of the fear, judgment of the others. Be brave and focus on your talent and the goal that we want to reach out. And in one condition, never ever sell your soul, never ever sell yourself to a pleaser. Please your mission, please your duty of your life and the goal that you have, we all have ahead of us. And hooray to science that supporting success is based on the, you know, science, freedom, philosophy, mankind, and humanity. And one of the success that I can address is Celine Dion. Hooray, she's coming back on the stage.
Mm.
And through her, you know, she reached out, in my opinion, the sky and the stars in the other planet with her voices. Her voices, even without the orchestra or melody, she has a chanting voice, is the nightingale voice that she has. And that is her talent. And a lot of pain, growth, difficulties, and above all, the patience that she had to practice it with herself and focusing on her goal to get better and to come back on the stage for the people and the world is adoring her.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest example that I can share it with you and the station and the respected listeners. And it brings the joy and energy, wonderful energy to me that we go and walk together
mm-hmm.
as one nation with no differences. With all the differences, we hold each other hands and we walk for the peace, world, and humanity.
Mm.
This is the way we can change the world with the positivity, with the positive action on the field. After all, thank you very much for having me. And I do know that I am the servant and I am the student of mankind. Thank you very much for having me.
Beautiful and wonderful. Awesome words as usual. Always uplifting and positive. And we really appreciate you for joining us on our program and providing us with such beautiful, wonderful elegance and words of wisdom and knowledge. So we thank you and we're going to have to say bye for now.
Yes, my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, all right, ladies and gentlemen. That was our Lady Fahima, the production manager of Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And we're going to have to wrap up our program for now. And we're going to leave you guys with some Shaky Graves and Late July.
Now, Chief, before we start, I do want to say that with that heavy topic, folks, as much as the adversity is out there, as evil as the agendas are, we all have God within us.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you all. Come back again next Thursday, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on Free Voices and hear Shaky Graves.
All the best, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Dude came up and was like, what's your fucking name, man? What's your name? And it's okay. That works fine.
And keep those deep breaths going.